Yo, welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Kallebach, here with Sunshine.
Hi there.
We don't know each other, but we got a mutual friend called Izzy. He knows everybody. And I've seen you around before. And I was like, I want to talk to that person. So you're kind of like transgender, you know? Tell me about what that was like. When did you kind of know, and what stage of the process are you going to go through in?
I'm actually not transgender. A lot of people think that I am because I wear females' clothing.
Right.
But that's just not true. I thought I was transgender at one point, and then I realized I really like my penis, and I'm going to keep them. So I am what is called a two-spirit.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Which is it's a phrase for... It came out of Native American language to describe somebody who possessed both male and female spiritual being within one body. And the way they categorized these people were, you know, gay or bisexual men or women who dressed as the opposite sex, acted as the opposite sex, would have spiritual totems, like a woman would have a warrior, which would... You know, and a mother, spiritual totem, so a kind of a dual nature.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I am, is a person who has dual natures. I am both masculine and feminine.
And are you bisexual?
Yes.
So as well? So, okay, I see what's going on. So bathrooms was never an issue of picking it. Did you go through a phase where you weren't sure if you were going to try to transition? Or
there was always like a feeling in the back of my mind, even growing up, that life would be easier for me if I had been born a woman. And from that thought, I guess, I started thinking, well, maybe I should try to transition into womanhood. And I've even thought about going so far as to getting fake breasts, but I would never do the hormone treatment. I would never get the big surgery. I would never do that. As far as I'm willing to go, it would probably be laser hair removal. And breast surgery. That's about it. Top surgery. And that's not going to be for a very long time. I'd rather wait until I have all my tattoos before I get breasts.
You gotta budget your...
Right, exactly. My body modification.
So, yeah, if you want to, like, embody a spirit animal. How did you come to the sense of this Native American tradition? Or how did you find that stuff?
Well, it all started because my grandmother's great-grandmother was a Native American priestess, shamaness. And we've always told stories about her. And one day, my mom found an old photograph of her bathing naked by a river.
Mm-hmm.
And she put it up in the house, you know. It's like, this is your, you know, your great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. And after that, I started doing some, you know, digging. And I was taking a class at the time. It was study of culture, something like that. And there were these people in it who were of a Aboriginal culture who... believed that there were beings among them who were both male and female, and they ascribed to those people certain spiritual awarenesses that normals would not have, because they basically said this person who embodies both male and female also can travel between the worlds of the natural and supernatural. And I've always been a Wiccan, just because I never liked the Christian ideology and I never liked the dogmatism of those religions. And when I came across that, I did some research to see if there were anything like that in America, North America. It turned out there was, and they were called the Bird Dash or Two-Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And so do you light a lot of candles? Do you do summoning spells towards, what you want in life? Do you do ritualistic candle burning and stuff?
Not very often. It's not something that's commonplace. It's rather... deeply sacred, and only mostly I perform ceremonies to honor certain spirits or my ancestors or gods. Very rarely do I cast a spell in order to obtain something I don't already have. I pray a lot, and sometimes I burn candles while I meditate, but I do not, and I burn incense more often than I burn candles. but I pray, and there are a couple of prayers that I use in my daily life.
And are the do you pray to a certain spirit that's like a that's between the worlds?
Sometimes it depends on the, what exactly I'm praying for, or who I'm talking to. There are several different deities that I ascribe to. Actually, there are a lot of deities that I ascribe to. The chief one is Morrigan, which is a Celtic goddess. Another is Zeboim, who is an Ancelonic sea goddess. And basically, whenever I love it when it rains, when it storms. I get ecstatic, like the biblical ecstasy, mm-hmm. rolling on the ground, you know, that kind of thing. That, but a subdued version, happens to me whenever I'm out in the middle of a storm. And so whenever I see clouds, I'll talk to Zeboim, be like, come on, you want to give me a thunderclap here? Mm-hmm. Yeah, some gusting winds. Come on, just give me a taste. Uh-huh. And then whenever I'm in a time of hard conflict or struggle, I'll ask Rhiannon, who is a Welsh goddess, for patience and for perseverance. So it's...
Are they like ascended wise masters that you can access their spirit knowledge from?
No, not so much. It's more like I'll ask them for help and they'll show me a sign that they heard me or that they didn't. Like, for instance, some of them have power animals. Morrigan's power animals, among her power animals, are ravens and crows. Whenever I see two ravens, I know that's her watching me through their eyes.
Wow. So did you talk to your great-great-grandma a lot, and did she pass down some of these Native American traditions to you? Or
Not while she was alive, but I do have dream visions, and sometimes I see her, sometimes I see my Granny Rachel. Both women were very powerful, spiritually, women. And so she taught me a lot about different plants that are in the region, because she was from around here. She was from she was a Choctaw, and so she she's like, you grow wisteria in front of your house and it helps protect you from certain things. Always have this, that, or the other thing growing. Mm-hmm. Hand down some old wise sayings to help me deal with other people. One of my favorites is, some people need a shepherd, some people need a wolf. And I like to be a wolf. I like to have people's attention called to me, because I have things that I like to say. And if I can generate a discussion, like, I like to walk around dressed, mm-hmm. as a girl with mm-hmm. makeup on and facial hair. And it freaks people up, because they're like, if you're gonna wear dresses, why can't you just try to look like a girl? Because I'm not a girl. And I do not think I'm a girl. I am not transgendered. I'm both.
Yeah, because it's like, sometimes I see you and you're in the full thing, mm-hmm. and doing the full thing, and then sometimes I see you and I'm not sure if that's you. But I think the first time we met, it was up by the I think I met you briefly up by the auditorium, the outside jazz kind of rehearsal thing. We met briefly, but
Smoker's Hill.
Yeah, with all the if you want to get mushrooms, I'm just saying, you might want to go over
right,
there.
Right.
But so what is that? Does that feel? Do you ever feel self-conscious when people know you dress like a woman and then they see you dress like a man? Like, do you ever feel like you have to explain something to them, or like defend yourself or something?
I never feel the urge to defend myself. My height makes me feel pretty well defended.
Right.
I'm a pretty big dude, mm-hmm. and I know how to defend myself physically, and that's all that really matters. Is, if you have a problem with me, it's your problem.
Right.
That's my outlook on it.
It's happening in your head, their right. problem with you.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, if they have questions and they ask them in a respectable manner, I have no problem, explaining who and what I am. If you ask me, what are you, I'm probably going to kick you in the face. But if you, if you're respectable about it, like, I was in Bourbon one day, and this guy called out to me. He thought that I was a chick, and he was whistling at me, and then I turned around, and he was like, oh, sorry, man. And I was, no problem, dude. And he's like, what? Why do you do that? And I was just like, oh, it's fun. It helps me dance with really hot chicks at bars. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah, I get a lot of tail because I dress like a woman. It's true.
Whoa. So is it weird getting, do you feel violated getting catcalled? You know, there's that Facebook video of that girl walking around.
Oh, yeah.
You know, New York City. And as a guy who never gets catcalled, I'm like, okay, well, you know, like, there's other problems other than, like, everyone wants to fuck you. Like, maybe you walk around and feel lonely because nobody wants to fuck you. Like, that's equally a problem, but that doesn't get as much advertising, you know? So, right. Like, but how do you, what do you think about, like, getting catcalled and, like, you know, you're between both worlds?
Well, I don't mind it, honestly. I don't, but that's not saying that it's okay. I am used to... I'm not used to being the center of attention, but I don't mind when people pay attention to me. Mm-hmm. I don't go out of my way, like, to wear a skin-tight leather outfit, you know, or something like that. I don't do that. I wear what I want to wear. If I feel like it looks good on me, then your opinion be damned. I'm going to wear it outside. And sometimes I'll get self-conscious about if I look good, like, right. if my outfit's put together, but never... what other people think, you know, like I do my last check in the mirror, like, yeah, well, maybe those shoes don't actually go with this outfit.
So they're, as long as you're coordinated, yeah, styling, you're
then I'm fine.
Right.
And if someone wants to catcall, I consider it like, you know, it was bound to happen eventually. I'm a 6 foot tall guy wearing heels and a dress. People are going to say stuff.
Yeah.
Eventually.
It's almost like for you, it's like, oh, you've made a valiant effort to pull this off. Like, isn't that the highest achievement to get catcalled in a certain way?
Yeah. For me, anyway. But, honestly, for women, I know that it's very different because I can defend myself. And women, you know, that statistic, 1 in 5 women on a college campus is going to be raped in their lifetime. That's a real statistic, 1 in 5. And if I was one of those 5 women and I was getting catcalled, I'd be worried. Have you heard about Schrodinger's rapist? Every man that a woman meets could potentially be a rapist. Rapists look just like everybody else. Like,
right.
They have to live in a world of these rules that you and I will never have to worry about.
That's true.
And so I can see why when you live in a world where every man you meet could potentially be a rapist, being catcalled could be considered... a little scary.
Right.
Because it's like, oh, well, do I say something and appease this stranger? Or do I try and ignore him and hope he goes away? Or how do I react to this? You know, like, that's my opinion.
So you say you can defend yourself. Do you ever do martial arts or anything? You ever do any kickboxing?
Okay. I've got a couple of stories for you there. The first time I ever attempted martial arts, I was 5 years old. And it was karate. And the guy kept putting me on the ground, like on the mat. Because apparently I wasn't very good at blocking him. Or maybe he was just, you know, a 6'4" guy who was with a 5-year-old.
Right.
But eventually I got tired of getting knocked to the ground. So I just reached over and I bit his foot.
they don't teach you that move.
No, they don't.
You gotta be crafty.
Right. And my mom was like, why did you bite him? And I said, well... I was trying to be like a lion, because lions always win, and they'll use their nails and their teeth to their advantage. And so, I am not afraid to bite your head off.
All right, well, that says it all.
Yeah, and I've also taken Taekwondo, and so karate for a brief period, Taekwondo for about 3 years, and just some kickboxing. So, I mostly rely on the fact that I can make my foot touch his face, and he won't expect it. And then once he's on the ground, I can just...
stop.
Yeah. You know.
Especially you got heels on.
Yeah, exactly.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
No, I think martial arts are very, like, spiritual, too. Like, you know, I was, like, kind of depressed and living in Los Angeles and stuff, and I started doing Muay Thai, and it, like, totally, like, made me... self-actualizes you. Anyway, have you ever done psychedelics? Speaking of mushrooms, have you ever gone on a vision quest, Native American style?
Never with ayahuasca, never with peyote, but I did fast for 7 days, And I went without sleep for 5 days. And the way I stayed awake was by smoking marijuana. Just smoking marijuana and not eating and just staying up for about a week, maybe a week and a half.
Whoa.
So that I could enter the spirit realm and start a vision quest. And I was on that vision quest for what felt like about 3 months. And I had slept for 14 hours.
And then what did you see while you were over there? What
I can't tell you all that.
What was the impetus for going over there?
I just wanted to travel. I've always had a fascination with astral travel. And there was never anybody who could adequately teach me how. Because a lot of them were just like, you have to do it. Like, you have to figure it out for yourself. Like, there's methods, but you have to figure out how to do it yourself. And the way I did it was with sleep deprivation, food deprivation. I had these different crystals, which are aligned with the different chakras where they were supposed to be. I had my chakra meditation music going, and I just closed my eyes.
So you put crystals on the
my body.
Right,
yeah,
right,
while
right.
I was asleep. And when I woke up, they were all in the same exact position. I hadn't moved for 14 hours.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Why can't you tell me what you saw?
I can tell you a little bit, but the most of it was stuff that they swore me to secrecy. It's not meant for this mortal world.
Will my head explode if I learn too much information too fast? I couldn't keep it in my...
I don't know if your head would explode, but it could have, you know, lasting, unforeseen consequences.
All right, well, if whatever you feel comfortable whispering without, you know, you don't want to make the other side too angry if they swore you to secrecy.
Exactly. Exactly. I will say that I learned some things about the universe and synchronicity that I no longer believe in coincidence. To me, coincidence is a sign that something is going right or that something is going wrong, but it's not, you know, what is it? Coincidence is a scientist's word for destiny, basically, in my opinion.
Hmm.
If it's a coincidence, it's not a coincidence. It's meant to happen. That's one thing. That I learned over there. I also learned about how one of the problems with this planet is that we are all too wrapped up in one self, and we need to learn how to basically live not just with each other, but for each other and support each other as on a global scale. We need to learn how to support each other and not just fend for, you know, what we want.
Right.
I had a vision that I was a storm cloud, and I became a bolt of lightning and a peal of thunder, and as I was echoing across, you know, time and sky, I was striking into the sand and turning into hot, you know, like glass, like that really cool swirly thing that happens when glass is made by lightning striking sand.
Sure, sure.
And as the orange haze, you know, faded, I realized that I was no longer in anything. It was me, my body, walking along this really beautiful meadow with this great orange bridge over a river and this very mystical woman who had a deep, deep, long conversation with. And we talked for a very, very long time. And I met her again later on my voyage. And When I got to the end of my journey, I told the people that I was with that I didn't want to go back. And they promised me that even when I did wake up, I would be able to visit them again eventually, just not for a very long time. And that they were going to make me forget a lot of what I had seen, simply because I wasn't supposed to keep that information with me.
So what got you there? Was it Maui Waui? Was it Kudo Skunkweed? Or what kind of...
It was sativa? About 5 different brands. No, I don't do sativa.
Indica. Oh, you went body high.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I just quit when I got here because I didn't want to... I got all these scholarships and also weed got to be an issue in my life. But
right.
I will revisit in a year. Anyway, that's what's going on with my smoking. So what are you gonna do for a living? What are you studying here and stuff?
Theater, communication arts with a minor in anthropology and another minor in marketing.
Mm. So what do you want to do? Do you want to put on a one-man show or?
Honestly, I want to run a corporation and a national, international, global production company that takes American stories and makes movies out of them through different countries' perspectives. So basically, I want to operate and own a business that takes stories and redistributes them across the world in different, not dialects, but basically create the same movie but tailored for different countries,
I see.
and change them also to fit the political, social climate of the country. Like, I would like to show Americans what a Spanish love story looks like and how American cinema is very narrow now, that there's only really one or two different kinds of romance movies. Either it's the tragic, terrible love story where no one ends up happy, or it's the lighthearted comedy with Jennifer Aniston, but there's really nothing outside of those anymore. And I'd like to take apart the movie cinema perspective from other countries and see what I can do with it to create global movies that aren't just a huge hit in America and in Britain and in Japan, but that are worldwide. I also want to own a news corporation that only produces news that has no political bias, just the facts. Kind of like that show on HBO Newsroom, if you've seen that show. I'd want to create a show like that.
It's tough though, you know,
Oh
like
yeah.
because, you know, the international bankers, you know, who kind of like own everything. Like if you like write a story that's like, oh, they're kind of fucks and sociopaths, which is just really what the facts are. And I mean, when you look at, I was thinking about this last night, speaking of Spirit Quest, I was thinking about this, and it's like, if you look at Wall Street, there's the biggest buildings, and what are they producing? Nothing. They got cubicles of parasites trying to suck as much money out of the viral system as possible. And they have the biggest buildings and they're making nothing. And if you look at a place like Detroit, which tried to do the make an honest living and actually make something, they're bankrupt and fucked. So it's like, that's just what the facts are. And so it seems like unbiased, but some rich cunt would be like, oh, well, you're this liberal, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what are you talking about? That's just, you know what I mean? So whatever facts you choose to say is going to be biased. You know what I'm saying? Because someone's
Well,
going to
not
not want those facts out
particularly.
there.
I mean, not really. I mean, if seven people die in an explosion that was caused by this organization, which was governmentally regulated, and the regulators sent three people to do the work of 10 people over the period of 3 months, if that's all I have to say, then that's all I'll have to say. And if you're a Republican, you're probably gonna be like, see, that's what happens when you let the government regulate things. And if you do the Democrats, the Democrats will probably see, that's what happens when Republicans don't give us enough money. Like, I won't be telling that story. I'll be giving the facts. And as long as I know that I'm getting the facts out there, I will have a clear conscience. Now, keep in mind, I am not staying in America. I have an 8-year plan. I plan to be out of America, probably in Germany, then Sweden, then Norway. By the time I'm 30, I want to have left America.
And not coming back, you want to expat
Pretty
because you think
much.
that it's collapsing.
Not that I think it's collapsing, just that I don't think like this is the country for me.
I
I'd
think
rather
that,
live somewhere like Norway.
yeah, I think that too, but you know, I'm not sure. I don't know.
And also, I have a business model for a GMO-free Popeyes recipe.
Whoa.
My grandfather owns a couple of Popeyes, and so when he dies, my aunt will inherit his seat on the board. And by the time that I'm old enough to inherit a seat, I could possibly be the chairman of the board. And if that ever does happen, I will relocate funds, with the board's permission, of course, to move on a storefront in Norway.
And
And
just
have
open
a,
a
yep,
organic one.
exactly. And have a chain, hopefully, because they don't have any Popeyes over there. I've actually spoken to several actors who've been there, because I've worked on a movie this summer. And they're like, well, you know, the country is this big, you could only fit like two or three, maybe, you know, reasonably. But they pride themselves on having an international cuisine, and they don't have Popeyes.
Mm-hmm. So what the fuck?
Right.
Do they really have international cuisine without Popeyes?
I don't think so. I'm gonna try and fix that. But, yeah, I'd like to live somewhere more peaceful. Some place. Not New Orleans. I like New Orleans. It's my favorite U.S. city, but I don't want to live here. I live on the North Shore right now.
Right.
And that's much more my speed. I don't like the hustle and bustle of the city life. Actually, well, part of me is, you know, a city rat.
Quarter wet.
Huh?
Quarter rat.
Right. I also do love the country and being able to look up at the sky and see galaxies spiraling out into the distance. You can't do that in a city.
Right.
And that's like the stars are a very important part of my life.
Of course, yeah. I mean, how are your spirit animals going to talk to you if there's too much fucking light pollution from the city?
Well, I don't really have spirit animals.
Spirit guides. Whatever. Animals. Maybe they're anthropomorphic. Were your parents ever... was it rough to kind of break into telling them that you'd like to dress like a woman? Were your parents cool with it, or...?
My mom was, my dad was not, and is coming to terms with it.
Mm-hmm.
He's slowly coming to terms with the fact that I'm not going to change myself for his approval.
Right.
So he's coming to terms with it, because I pretty much told him, I said, you know, if this is who I am, and if you don't love me, then let's, you know, part ways now. And then I went to my mom's house for a couple of days, and... When he came back, he was... Because my parents are divorced. When I went back, he realized that he didn't want to lose me. So I try to take it easy on him, you know?
Mm.
Was
there ever a day where you just kind of showed up in a prom dress and, you know, like a big reveal of it and with a reaction?
Not really.
No? It was more of a gradual... You slow boiled. You just had like one high heel on.
Well, it's like I came out... And that was a big thing for him, because he grew up in rural Mississippi.
I see.
And he's 60 years old.
Right.
So, for him, that was, like, a big thing. And that was all I needed to tell him at that point. And then I hadn't even discovered the rest of it myself, rest of myself, yet, until I went to college. And then I wasn't living with him, so I could be free. And then, eventually, I started telling him, you know, I do like wearing pantyhose, and... I do like wearing high heels, and yes, I love makeup and hair dye and, you know, dresses and skirts and halter tops and everything. Earrings, rings,
fascinating.
Bracelets, necklaces.
And it's like, you know, I am a white straight guy, and like, I'm...
How unfortunate for you.
It's just so boring. But also, like, you know, I guess, like, in our society, it's like you kind of, like, hit, like... the fucking lottery of, like, you know, white man privilege.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, definitely.
Was it tough giving that up?
I didn't really give it up. I mean, I'm still white.
That's true.
And I still have a penis. So, I mean, I'm not actually white, but I look white, so I pass.
Right.
But it does get irritating when people refer to me as a honky, because I'm like, I'm not the white devil. What are you talking about? Like, you think you got it bad? My people were slaughtered, and then enslaved, and then slaughtered some more, and then the Trail of Tears happened. Like,
no one's fucked more with the Native Americans than anybody.
Like, I mean, so go right ahead. And, I've never really given it up. I try, in a professional sense, to maintain a masculine demeanor in business. Not because... of any hangups that I feel, just because I feel like that'll get me to the top quicker than if I wear a sundress in the office, you know?
Right.
If I wear a suit that looks better, then yeah, that's what I'm gonna wear. And like, but I haven't really had that much experience yet in the film industry. I've only worked on, you know, the one movie, and I'm excited to work on more, but the end goal is just so far away that I'm not willing to put it at risk for anything, including attire. Like, if after graduating college I have to put on business suits for 18 years before I can wear one more dress in public, that's what I'll do, because that's how much I want to win.
Right. So you'll play the game.
Right. Yeah. I'm not afraid to play the game.
It's weird. I had a conversation with my mom yesterday, and basically, you know, I never had to say, like, oh, I'm gay, or I never, you know what I mean? It's right. Not true, but... What I did have to do was tell my mom, no, like, for my senior project, for getting my master's, I'm going to do a stand-up special. Like, the University of New Orleans is cool with me doing that. And it's going to have a lot of filthy dick jokes in it. And then she's like, but I like when you do political stuff, you know. And she's like, aren't you worried about being a professor later if you have a special out there with a bunch of filthy dick jokes? And I'm like, I can't. You know, if I'm just trying to do the best special possible, I gotta do my shit. I can't conform to the whatever society tells me a professor should do, or I can't think about how many dick jokes per minute I can have in a comedy special versus how many universities are gonna hire me as a professor of screenwriting. I just gotta do my shit, because you know how fucking hard a comedy special is?
So, I can imagine.
So, it is weird, like, no matter what, where you are, you have to break some kind of news to your parents that you're not gonna fucking change, you gotta be true to yourself, and you gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
I think the biggest problem for parents is every parent, whether they want to admit it or not, has a plan for their child.
Right.
And so when you do anything that breaks off that plan, that's when you have to break the news. But that's, I think, a bit different from having, having to come out of the closet.
Yeah, that I'm sure that was tough.
I had to do it 3 times.
What do you mean?
Well, I had to do it once for my sister. I had to come out to my sister. And then then once with my mom. And she actually sent me to stay with her best friend, who's a lesbian, my Uncle Lisa, for a couple of days, just to talk and be like, is this really... Like, you really think this is what's going on? Like, you sure this is a permanent thing?
Right. Did you say, I'm gay, or did you say I'm bisexual?
At first, I said I was gay.
Right.
Because I was only ever attracted physically to men. The attraction to women came later, when I learned to think with my big head and not my little one. I'm attracted to women, I think, in a more emotional, spiritual way than to men. Men are just sexually attractive.
They're just sex pigs.
Yeah, but they're not. They're not. They're like, how do I put this? Like, they're kind of like difference between puppies and cats. You know,
right?
Like, dogs are fun, but at the end of the day, I want a cat to cuddle up with.
Cause a dog is too simple. You just know where their head's at too much.
Not necessarily. It's just that men are. Honestly, men cause more drama. Gay men cause way more drama than women.
What do you mean?
They're just so... They can be so irritating. To me, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because they... Well, for I'll give you a couple of for instances. So I had sex with somebody. I'm not going to give you his name, major, whatever.
Sure,
but,
sure.
But it was pretty good. I mean, I'm pretty good at that. Right. Having sex. I'm pretty good. And... They really enjoyed themselves. And I really did, too. But I thought that was just going to be it, you know, like the one time. Because it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see a relationship happening.
Right, right.
And then so they start texting me every single day, just once a day, just saying, hey. And I'd be like, hello there. And that would be it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, he would start texting me, hey, how come you never talk to me? And I'd be like, because... There's nothing to talk about. And with a girl, if you say something, like, this is... If you communicate with her and you're like, this is going to be a one-time thing, and after this, we can see each other in the street, but it's never going to happen again. They understand that, and they agree to it, then that's the deal. That's what's going to happen. You don't have to worry about a girl falling in love with you over one night of great sex. Like, guys do it all the time, though.
Right, right. Do you think that there's more of a... You think that, like, the stereotype is that guys are more just, like, they're just need to release.
Right. And your question is...
But, so you're saying that's not true? Or maybe that's not true for gay men.
I don't think it's true for gay men. Or at least not the gay men that I've met. I've met, only a handful of gay men who could maintain a friendship, fuck buddy relationship. And the rest of them would eventually either fall in love or they would feel awkward. Whereas a woman fuck buddy, I've had the same woman fuck buddy for about 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're, best friends. And that's all it is. It's about sex. Right. And she has a boyfriend who's okay because he works offshore, so he's gone 2 weeks. And I'm into polyamory. I don't really do... That's another thing. Gay men are very possessive, and women are easier to be polyamorous with, I find. Men, it's like, okay, well, you're mine. So you're mine, and you can't be anyone else's.
Right.
If I'm with a woman, and, we both know the situation, because I'm all about communication. Women are, I think, at least in my opinion, more open to the idea than gay men. I've noticed that, because I have a couple of poly friends, and it's a straight guy will say, yeah, let me have, 3 different girlfriends, but you can't have a boyfriend.
Right, right.
And with gay men, it's a lot okay, well, I'll fuck you, and I can fuck this guy too, but you better not be fucking anybody.
Right, right.
That's just the way they are.
I think it's just, this thing of, it's gotta be this genetic thing of, I want to make sure that my seed goes down the line of my throne and my betrothed, and so you don't want any competition on the line. If two guys, come in the same girl on the same night, those sperm are going to duke it out. They're going to fight to the death in that vagina. That vagina is going to be a holocaust of spunk having a fucking World War II in there.
Yeah.
Because, and I think that is the exact same thing that happens
in the bedroom?
Holocaust
of spunk?
Well, they're gonna be fighting and saying, hey, look, that's my vagina.
Right.
They're gonna be fighting on the vagina on the outside before it gets in there.
Right.
They want to control the landscape of that. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hmm. People,
So, do you think that you're, do you think that you ever would want to settle down later, or do you think you want to be polyamorous the whole, is that just?
Honestly, the way I see myself settling down is with a nice mansion by a river and 8 children and just me and a bunch of pets and maybe some lovers here or there, but probably not another parent.
But there would just be kind of concubines and children and cats around.
Cats and dogs and goats and snakes and bats.
Wow. And so, but there wouldn't be another...
I mean, if each child had a different parent who wanted to also spend time with the child, then, let them do that. But they're not going to be doing it in my house.
It's going to be out the castle.
Right. go take it to your manor. Go right ahead.
That's fascinating.
Or your shack or whatever.
Is it just that you feel like you could be both the
yes. Both parent and...
The father and mother to a kid?
Yeah.
Wow.
And also because I have a very clear idea of how I want to raise my children. I've wanted to be a parent for... as long as I can remember. And I've always known that I was going to have to wait until I was very successful and wealthy to be able to do that the way I wanted to.
Right.
I would want to make sure that even if I only ever had one kid, that kid would have to be... I would make sure that kid was the happiest kid, the most educated kid, the smartest, strongest, best child. And, he would grow up to be a successful adult who would know what he wanted and where to go.
It is weird that, cool people that, wait to have kids aren't having kids. It's, people that are, poor are just, cranking them out,
Well, it's because of the government assistance, If you're poor enough,
yeah,
popping the babies out, you get more money, more money, more money.
It is just crazy how the system is. It really is. So, people who, you know, I probably won't have kids because I'm like, I want to do so much with stand-up and stuff, and I want to do all these things. And
oh,
I
just think, you know, you'll get drunk one night and just, you know, forget to put your raincoat on, and then you'll be a dad.
Be like, hey, look, this pill is going to be way cheaper than 18 years of a fucking brat, so
right.
How about it? But, I don't know, I just think... you know, it's like such a financial burden, and I know I kind of want to be more free and stuff and just try to put my humor onto the world as my bequeathment to the world instead of like a spunk war and a vagina and stuff. So, I don't know. Maybe if I was 50, I would have accomplished enough. But by then, I got like fucking old, tired spunk, you know. And so.
What are you talking about? Charlie Chaplin fathered his last child when he was 73.
Yeah, but could that child have had a higher IQ if he'd had it earlier?
I mean, I think he did pretty fine. I think he did fine.
Yeah,
probably.
Whatever
he or she did with their life, they were probably pretty successful.
Yeah, and plus, you know, if they're down a couple IQ points, he's sitting on all that sweet Charlie Chaplin cash, so
right.
Kind of been fine. Doing so bad.
It's fine. But yeah, man, I plan on saving some sperm.
You're going to freeze it?
Yeah.
Your young sperm, your jumpers?
Yeah, exactly. And then when I'm ready to have kids, let's be like, okay, bring out the surrogates.
It'll just be a line of them
of women. I'll be like, okay, we're putting
yes,
you know, this one right here,
and then murder woman. Those two, and you will carry my child.
They'll have like a talk show. Who's gonna carry my baby?
Like a reality show.
Yeah, like
wow.
Instead of the rose though, it's gonna be a turkey baster. Why do you think you have the right to bear my child?
Well, it's just I have like a really loving womb, and it's like really open, and I'm cool with that.
And then if they aren't the winner, then they have to leave through an oven,
like some
a cold oven,
some back alley dumpster.
Yeah,
like you were aborted.
Dumb.
But yeah, you should like put the turkey baster like around their head like a necklace. Oh, Christ. Well, I have this news story. I found this. I think this is interesting. There was a transgender woman in Ohio who was born Jeffrey, but it was she changed her name to Jennifer Gable. And then she had a sudden brain aneurysm, and then the parents dressed her back up like Jeffrey, put her in a suit, and then buried her like that. And all of her friends were going... She would have hated that. She hated being Jeffrey. She wanted to be Jennifer.
But right.
The parents were like, let's chop the fucking hair off.
Oh,
let's put him in a suit. It was Jeffrey. That's how we named him.
Oh, wow.
You know
That's
what I mean?
Shame. That's a shame.
Does that drive you crazy? Stuff like that?
No, I don't really care about other people. So
they're dead now.
I mean, that's a shame. That's terrible that happened. Because if there's... I mean, I don't get burial, period. But
you think it's a waste of space and cremation's a better way to go?
Not that. I think that it'd be better if like you just planted a tree with every person or something like that.
Yeah.
Like made their dead body worth something.
I get that. I find it crazy. Like especially you go down the fucking cemetery in New Orleans.
Yeah.
It stinks, first of all, because the corpses are above the ground because you can't bury anything in New Orleans because it's below sea level and
right.
It's a swamp. So they just rot corpses in the open fucking air above the fucking ground.
Mm.
And when you die there, then you, like, you're just going to take that space forever. And what is their event, like, 6,000 years from now, there's going to be a skyscraper of fucking rotting corpses. Like, it's an unsustainable thing of cemeteries.
Right.
You know? Make a tree and then...
It's just so selfish, I think.
I think so, too.
And so I would want to be turned into... Like, I would want my body to be used as the fertilizer for, like, a maple tree or a wisteria vine or
yeah.
Something like that.
Or you can put your body in a field, grow corn... That
right.
Are eaten by organic chickens that are eaten by people for Popeyes.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, and so then it's like, is that cannibalism through
then,
a chicken?
You know, I'll feed the masses.
With, through a corn and then a chicken proxy, it's cannibalism.
Right.
But it's recycling.
I'm all for.
Exactly.
Yeah, recycling our resources.
What's with this? Nearly half of young transgender people have attempted suicide. 48% of trans people under 26 said they have attempted, and 30% in the past year, and 59% have considered. By comparison, 6% of 16 to 24-year-olds have attempted. Is it hard? You know, have you ever got super depressed about it and was like, why can't I just, like, conform to this kind of situation?
Well, I've tried killing myself, but it was never because of a trans thing. It was always just pure misery.
Was it over lovers, or what was it over?
No. Just childhood situations. Abuse.
Right.
Systematic abuse. Living in a country town. Like, so my eighth grade school that I went to was one of those schools where everyone's gone there since first grade all the way up to eighth, and I was just getting there, eighth grade. And I had come from a somewhat smarter school, so I already knew everything, so everybody thought that I was just like a, what's the word?
Know-it-all?
Yeah, brainiac, nerd, geek, whatever. And, I mean, I had two servants, but they didn't really make me happy. And, I turned two students into my servants. Right. And made them carry my stuff and follow me around. But it didn't make me happy.
Even though you cultivated, like, a two-person cult around your personality.
Yeah. Actually, it was a three-person cult. Only two of them were my servants, and the other one was just a follower.
Right, right.
You know.
So is this also where you kind of, like, don't get along, you don't, haven't found somebody that you could, like, be, like, an equal with in a parent situation? You want to be both the husband and the wife?
Well, it's like this. All right, so if I met a man that I'd want to get married to, he would have to be pretty much a lot like me, both feminine and masculine. Because if he was too masculine, I would start to crave femininity. And if he was too... You know, hey there.
Right.
How are you? His voice would make me fucking crazy.
Right.
So, it's just, it'd be way too difficult. And then, vice versa with a woman, if I were to marry a woman, and I could have children with her, and that'd be great, but eventually I would want male comfort. Physically.
So, could a woman also possess both spiritualities of man and fulfillment?
Yes.
So it would need to be that situation.
Right. She would have to be another two-spirit. Just because I don't think that my life would... Well, that's one of the reasons why I'm polyamorous right now. It's because I don't believe that one person can fill all of one other person's needs. Like, I have sexual needs, intellectual needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, you know...
Right.
All creative needs. Somebody that I can go watch a movie with. Somebody that I can go stay home and watch a movie with and laugh and talk throughout the whole thing. So, you know, and somebody that I can cook delicious food for. Somebody who will cook delicious food for me. Like, you know,
right.
All these different things. There's no way I don't think I'll find one person with all of those sterling qualities wrapped in one.
Well, I mean...
And then no psycho, you know.
Right.
Like, they might find a psychopath who's perfect for me. And, no, with my luck, that'd probably be what it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I won't be ignored, Daniel. That's my perfect woman, Glenn Close, right there. If I could marry Glenn Close, I would in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it takes a super strong woman who is willing to kill 101 Dalmatians for her.
Yeah, that's my kind of dedication right there. One of my muses was Cruella de Vil. And Ursula.
So are you kind of the dark side sometimes?
Sunshine is a very ironic name.
Right.
How
did you come to give yourself that name?
I did not give myself that name. Other people gave it to me because I have such a sunny, you know, demeanor. When I'm outside and, you know, I'm wearing whatever I'm wearing, I'm smiling at everybody, going, hi. Because a lot of people know me, so I'm like, hi, how are you? Give everybody hugs. Apparently, I have hugs that make you feel like you're in heaven.
You've been told.
Yeah.
It's been footnoted after hugs.
Yeah. And so, one year I cut my hair and I dyed it blonde, and I straightened it. And someone one of my friends was like, oh my gosh, you're a fucking Sunshine Kid. Mm-hmm. And that name, Sunshine Kid, just stuck with me and that group of friends. And then eventually other people saw me and knew me, who knew me, you know, not in that circle, would start calling me Sunshine. And then even after I dyed my hair cotton candy pink, people would still call me Sunshine who didn't know me. So eventually, when people asked me who I was, I'd be like, oh, you can call me Sunshine, everybody does. And so I didn't really give it to myself, other people gave it to me. And I've always found that as kind of funny, because the sunshine on the surface is just a mask hiding the dark, cold abyss within.
Mm. I think some of the abyss has been coming out in this.
Oh, well, yeah, during this interview. Because there's, you know, there's not an adoring audience yet.
There will be online.
Yeah.
And maybe you'll cultivate another grassroots cult from the Let's ground
hope.
Up.
Let's hope. Start and make me really happy.
Your shit around. But I have just...
Well, because I have so much.
I know. Look at your moccasins and stuff. And your...
What are you moccasins? Are you blind?
No, I'm just joking. Okay. Your moccasin... decored handbag.
This is my dress.
Oh.
I change before class every day.
Multiple outfits.
Yeah, I can't wear the same outfit all day.
This looks comfortable for studying.
Exactly.
And then you got. So here's the other thing. For me, talking about polyamorous and not everybody can like fill in all your needs or whatever. I always think like a girlfriend will. Have like a certain spectrum of my needs covered, and then everything else is just friends. Mm. And I don't necessarily have to have sex with, you know, you don't have to fuck everybody to get what you need emotionally. Like I hang out with a lot of comics, and I love hanging out in the back of a comedy club and talking crazy shit and making fun of everybody and being superior to everybody. I love that. But then you know, you go home and you have a girlfriend, and then there's that level of stability as well. And I think mentally I do best in that scenario. Mm. But it's like, I guess with polyamorous, do you just want to share more of yourself with more people? Or
pretty
you
much. Wanna... Well, it's not only that. It's also, as I've tried having a single one-on-one relationship, and I came to discover that myself, I possess way too much, whatever that is, love, energy, focus, drive, I don't know, for one person, at least sexually. I'm not satisfied easily.
Right.
And so one person gets worn out after about 3 days.
It's just the level of loads that you got.
Yeah, exactly.
Stored up. Yeah. I always think that's what, you know, marriage is kind of terrifying to me, though.
Right.
Because it's kind of like, okay, well, if you put these rings on and then you stop having sex with that person... Right, and you can't rape your wife or whatever, because that's rude, you know, and that's like illegal and stuff, right?
But in then, some states,
but they can take your sex away from you.
Yeah,
they can. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. When you sign that document, they can say, okay, well, you're not going to have sex anymore. And then if you go to somebody else and you have an affair, then they can legally take all your money.
Well, that's what the prenup was invented for.
So it's like this. Fucking hostage situation where two sexually satisfied grumpy people have guns to each other's heads and they can pull this fucking financial holocaust on each other, and it's this weird blackmail situation that is so antiquated and makes for bitterness and exploitation built woven into the document.
Yeah.
It's not about love and sharing a life. It's about, okay, this amount of money, and then you're going to pay me for not giving you blowjobs for the next X amount of years, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, wait a minute, that's way off on, you know, I understand that, you know, men are gross, and so you got to protect yourself legally, but it's, the marriage document is so crazy in favoring women. That
oh, is it? I haven't ever read one.
Well, it's just like, you know, alimony and stuff, and I get child support, but like, so, like, if, like, a rich guy, I don't know, if someone, you know, if a man and wife break up, and then the guy has to pay her for the rest of her life, you know, I don't know if that's fair.
Is that still a thing?
Yeah. That
really?
Happens. Oh, yeah. That's what marriage is about.
Wow. Well, see, I don't believe in getting married, period. I do hand fasting.
What does that mean?
Hand fasting? No, it's a...
Your fast hands?
Wiccan marriage ceremony, basically. Only it doesn't bind you legally, just spiritually. And you can do with as many people as you want. Get hand fasting.
What's the hand fast ritual?
Basically, you hold each other's hands while somebody ties a coil of colored rope around one wrist and then around the other to bind you two together forever. And then, you know, you spend the whole night with the things tied, so you spend the whole night next to each other, and depending on the different culture, you jump over a broom or eat a stew or, you know.
While hand fasted?
Yeah.
So you just
bound together.
Okay.
And, you know, you feed each other, but there's this one religion. It's I don't think it's practiced anymore, but it was kind of Celtic and at the same time Roman. Both of them did this. Celebration called Beltane, where if you were married, you would take off your wedding ring and fornicate with as many different people as possible. Just for that one night.
The marriage night.
Yeah.
You fill up as many whores as possible with your loads.
Right.
But the night before the marriage.
Yeah. And well, then, not the night before, just one night a year. Every year.
Wow.
One night, you just, everybody, and women too. Women go and find as much dick as they can handle.
Wow.
And then they come home to their husbands. And whatever, and every baby that you get out of that is automatically the father's, it's automatically the husband's child, automatically. And so it got kind of, it helped fix the whole women who can't have children, men who can't have children, because eventually everybody would be having baby.
Wow. That's like medieval times when people
were
like
state. This is back way big, like pre-Christian, so before the church.
I still find it bizarre that the Anglican Church started because King Henry VIII was like, "I want multiple wives," and the Pope was like, "No," and he's like, "I'm gonna get a wife. I'm gonna chop her head off. I'm gonna get a new wife. I'm gonna chop her head." It's like he did that like once a season, and they're like, "This is the moral basis of the Anglican Church."
Yeah. Pretty much.
And that's, they're still rocking. I think it's not like as so intense, but
well, no, I don't think Queen Elizabeth has beheaded anybody in a while.
Well, that's up for debate. I had this guy on my podcast called Reverend Kevin Annette, and he's saying that Queen Elizabeth is doing ritualistic sacrifices and all this weird stuff.
Oh, you told me that you speak to conspiracy people.
Yeah, so a lot of comics and then conspiracy people, and then this is just an interesting gender talk where we've been having.
Well, so it makes me feel very special.
Whatever I find interesting. So even this podcast, you know, it's like there's no coincidences. We were destined to have this chat, you know?
Right, right.
It's a bit of a therapy session, you know?
It's fun.
So
who's doing the therapy? Am I getting paid the $300 or are you getting paid the $300?
I think it's more of a mutual situation, you know what I mean? That's why I think, like, if people have good friends and they don't really need therapy, as long as they get to talk to about what's going on and stuff, then...
As long as they have friends with really good drug connections, they don't need therapy.
There you go. Every now and then you got a defrag with some mushrooms or something.
Right.
My parents, like, freaked out when I told them I did mushrooms. And I'm like, okay, here's a study that says that mushrooms beats every other drug for post-traumatic stress disorder.
Mm-hmm.
If a soldier's freaking out from Iraq, he does mushrooms one time.
And he's better.
He's better.
Yeah.
Statistically.
I think I read that same article.
I mean, but, you know.
The psilocybin.
Exactly. But instead, they put him on Prozac that he's going to have to be a debt slave to for the rest of his life when he has no legs. What's better? One mushroom that's for free that grows on cow shit, or, you know, an expensive pharmaceutical that's gonna hook him and break down his liver over the course of 10 years.
When I told my parents that I had done mushrooms, they're both kind of like, "Oh yeah, how many?
It's how many,
like,
grams?"
Yeah, I was like, "How much?" She's like, "How much?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, a lot, like." I think I paid $60 or $70 worth. So that much. $70 worth.
It's like 6 grams.
It was a nice time.
Wow. Was that part of your fast, or was your fast only marijuana?
Oh, fast was only marijuana. I did not want to involve anything else in that. I wanted to wanted it to be kind of pure. Because I do worship Mary Jane. She's probably the only woman I'll ever love. And, but yeah, that time I went into my own little world. I have this blanket that's microfiber, super velvet soft.
Sure.
And it's huge.
Yeah. Right?
Huge blanket. Like, it could cover that whole wall.
Whoa.
And I just wrapped myself up in it and left and went somewhere else. Somewhere where I was really, really huge and everyone was teeny, teeny, tiny, tiny. And I could barely see them. And they were like little ants. Whoa. And then there was a maze. And then there was a blue fish. It was great.
Sounds great. Like Alice in Wonderland kind of journey.
Kind of, maybe. Maybe.
I always hear that you, if you do DMT, you'll, like, meet entities. They always say that. Like, you'll meet very specific entities that put smoke over you, and they'll, you know, like, treat you. Is that what you feel like you encountered during your marijuana fasting?
No, not really. It was more like these, well, it was very different, different people. So there was the lady that I met on the bridge who turned out to be half dragon, and her hair was an ocean. Like, if I looked hard enough, I could see fishes and sharks and whales swimming in her hair. And she basically told me that eventually I'm going to have to learn how to let other people help me deal with my problems. And then we started picking up rocks off of a bridge to black, because it was blocking the path. Then we walked down the bridge, and she was like, okay, well, go walk into the sunset, and I'll see you later. So I walked into the sunset. And literally walked into, like, it was, like, painted.
Right.
And I walked into the wall that the sunset was painted on. And it just felt really, really good. Just really, really good. And then I woke up, and I was a flower on this tree. And this little hummingbird kind of thing flies out. He's like, hey, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm good. I'm just hanging. Get it? Hanging. Ha, ha. And he was like, ha, that's really funny. That's very funny. So could I, you know, like, get some of your nectar, man? Like, you give me some? And I was like, go right ahead, you know, whatever. And so he did, and then he flew off, and he was like, wow, that was really great, thanks, man. And then I turned into a fruit, and I was like this really big green fruit. I knew that I was delicious, but that was about it. And then I fell off the tree into this deep, 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 deep ocean, kind of like, imagine the planet Mars, but entirely ocean. Like that. And it froze over, and there was this surfer, this really cool surfer with hematite hair. And then there was this dragon. So they were all different, but none of them did, like, smoke over me or anything. It was just kind of like, they all helped me out in different ways. The surfer kind of, she carved out of the ocean, like turned everything that her board touched kind of froze over, and she just carved me out of the ocean. And then the dragon was really, really cool, because he looked like he was made out of tissue paper. Like, but there was this giant light bulb inside of him that was his heart. It was beating and putting lines of light throughout his tissue paper kind of body. And he just was so cool. He was a very cool guy. This dragon. And we just talked for a long time about life and death, and, you know, how souls are made and what happens when they die, and, you know, how do you end up in the body you end up in, and do we reincarnate? And I do. I reincarnate.
And so was this flower and this fruit, like, were you previously a flower? Were you previously a fruit? Like, after the Big Bang, like, before you evolved into, like, a human, and then there were humans on the planet, were you these other things?
Yes.
And then when that flower died, then it went into the soil and became a fruit, and then that went into the soil, became a tadpole.
Right, you know, like, and then the thing that ago. Ate the tadpole, right. And then I became that, and then I became that, and then eventually I became a Cro-Magnon, and, you know, eventually I ended up being a human.
So what do you think your life's purpose is? What is that next stage of evolution? You know, it's like Newton said that we stand on the only thing I know about anything is science is because I stand on the shoulders of giants. So are you trying to pop your shoulders for what next piece of the fractal are you trying to push with your life?
a way off this godforsaken planet.
Pretty much.
What does that mean?
Yeah, I hope that when I die here, I'll end up going somewhere else, not on this planet. At least not right. in this time zone. Like, maybe I could go back to the past, or maybe I could go to the distant future, but please don't make me live here again.
Are you UNO in this godforsaken library?
Well, no, like in this time, when in this country, when things are going like they are.
I almost think I do think it is a bizarre privilege in some respects to be a part of this, because I really think that like there's this, I sense that this political bubble is about to pop. Right. And so I think about this a lot. Like, after JFK was assassinated and Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy, there was a House Select Committee on Assassinations, and they were like, and they determined in 1960 whatever, they're like, yeah, it was probably all a conspiracy. That was it, their official after a think tank. And then they said, do you want to name any names? Do you want to say, like, what? And they're like, no. And they're like, are you scared that you're going to get assassinated? And they're like, yeah. And so, like, that's a coup d'etat. What they're describing is there was 100% a coup d'etat, and ballots don't do anything, and because they're going to shoot in the head a politician that they don't agree with, this cabal, whatever this cabal right. is, you know? And then... you know, now, this past year, you know, we've spent $1.7 trillion in Iraq, killing them for their oil. We spent $765 billion in Afghanistan killing people for their fucking rare earth minerals, and for laptops and stuff, for Apple computers and stuff. And it would only cost $60 billion to pay for every American's education. So it's like, we don't have $60 billion to pay for everyone's college. But we do have $1.7 trillion for Stan oil.
Well, we have more money for defense spending than the next 25, 26 countries. All, if not most of whom, are our allies.
Yeah, but now we're in debt to those countries. Yeah. And it's like there's this card of bullshit that is just going to fall. And, you know, it is weird that we are the citizens that are in this ridiculously... corrupt society, that maybe we can see this kind of coming age of Aquarius or something, because it seems like they've kind of put themselves, they're so evil and isolated that it seems like people are starting to wake up with the internet, you know?
Right.
I don't know. Do you think that, do you sense that there's going to be a collapse or something coming on? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I feel like there's going to be a major shift in the way things get done. I don't know if it's going to happen because of a citizens' militia that goes crazy and ends up becoming a people's army, and we, you know, have a second civil war. I wouldn't rule out a second civil war. But really, I'm not preoccupied so much with what's going to happen as I am getting out of here before it does, if you know what I mean.
Right, for sure.
Like, I honestly, I'm not very schooled in politics. I don't know what's going on. I don't read the Drudge Report or watch Colbert or, you know, any news outlet, really. I'm actually quite ashamed to say I'm very uninformed in terms of what's going on, because I just don't have the time. Or neither do I care. And I just want to get out. I want to leave and go to visit my family in Germany and spend some time with them, and then maybe get a girl pregnant somewhere and get dual citizenship. You know. Stay.
Yeah.
Like, get a Hamsterdamian pregnant. An Amsterdamian pregnant. And then become a, you know.
That's the fastest way to knock somebody up.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, if I had a child in Norway, the Norwegian government would pay for that child from the moment it was conceived and the test showed that it was alive till college. 18 years they'd pay for that kid.
So then you'd split, or you'd stay there and become a citizen?
Probably I'd want to become a citizen of Norway. Just because I have family over there, and I'd like to get to know them, and if they're cool people, then live there.
Yeah, steamed halibut. They seem to have some pretty cool stuff over there.
Yeah, and you know, Amsterdam is only like a day away, so I have a little house, you know, little house outside of the city, and then go up into the Arctic mountains or whatever, 20 minutes north, or I think is it minutes in longitude, or is that latitude?
No idea.
Well, anyway.
So what you're saying is you kind of don't keep up with it, but you are keeping your eye on politics enough to know that everything is a den of thieves,
right,
and it's fucked.
Oh, well, we're not a government anymore. I saw this thing on Facebook, or Tumblr, was it? I really liked it. So what we're supposed to be is, a constitutional republic where the needs of the few are met by the needs of the many, and the will of the people is in charge.
Sure.
What we pretend we are is a democracy where the will of the majority overpowers the will of the individual or the minority. What we really are, though, is an oligarchy run by banking cabals where people's personal freedoms are leveraged against them.
Absolutely.
And we're in a giant pyramid scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's supposed to be a consumer and a producer, but no one's supposed to be a person.
Mm-hmm. I heard this really interesting thing. They said that when a ship comes to a port and that to do trade, then the person who is the captain of that ship has to give you like a berthing a slip at the berth of the thing. And when a woman drops a baby into the economy of the United States, they have to give them a birth certificate because you're saying what you're giving this economy into the thing.
Oh,
so
really?
You're like stamped it with a social security number.
Right.
And also a weird number on the back, which is actually, it's like D486 something. It's like a red number on the back. And that's actually, if you look up on fidelity.com, you can see your stock ticker. Like, the second you are born, you're, like, put on the Wall Street Stock Exchange, and you're just a commodity of, like...
Oh, are
like
you?
A huddled mass of whatever, cannon fire for the fucking...
Is that true?
Yeah. Well, look at this. Cool. I have my birth certificate actually on me right now.
Why do you carry your birth certificate
Because
on
if a...
I have to say that sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, whatever. This is my Social Security card, right? And then on the back, this red thing,
yeah.
You can look this number up. This is your Social Security number, but on the back...
Well, let me see your Social Security number one more time.
On the back, there's that weird number.
Right.
That's for the bank that owns me.
Oh, okay, cool.
And you can... And I looked up my...
How do you feel being owned?
It's weird.
Yeah. At least you're not being put to labor.
I just want to do as many, dick jokes as possible, and I want to... With my labor, I want to be... exposing the cabal with dick jokes and to like fuck over the system as much as possible and to scream and shout about how corrupt it is and stuff like this is what I want to do for a living and stuff. So
right, well, you have to be very good at it to be able to do it for a living.
Well,
I hope you are.
To make the medicine go down of like hardcore conspiracies and what's really going on, you need a spoonful of sugar and dick jokes in order for people to accept.
So specifically dick jokes.
Well, I don't
like
know.
Like, no other kinds of jokes? Just dick jokes? Only dick jokes?
Sex jokes, weird things,
Mm-hmm.
But I think that sex jokes... A funny sex joke is the funniest kind of joke. Because people can relate to it on kind of, like, such a visceral level.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone thinks about sex every 8 seconds.
Yeah. You want to hear a sex joke?
Sure.
It's very long.
Okay.
But it's pretty... I think it's pretty worth it.
I think we should end on this sex
joke.
Yeah.
All right. So... There's this girl, all right, she's about to go to her prom, and her mama tells her, girl, just want you to know I'm very proud of you, but I want you to know that that boy is going to try and have sex with you tonight, and if you let him shame our family, I will kick your ass and kick you out of this house. So the girl's like, I know, mama, I know, I'm not going to let him shame her family. She's like, he's going to, put something in your punch to make it taste better. And you're going to feel good. He's going to dance with you. And you're going to feel so good. He's going to rub the back of your wrist. And he's going to rub your shoulders. And he's going to say, let's go to the creek. And then you're going to go to the creek. And he's going to pour you some more booze. And you're going to feel so good. He's going to rub your back. And then he's going to hop on top of you and shame our family. And if you let him shame our family, girl, I will kick your ass and kick you out of this house. And the girl's like, I know, mama. I promise I won't. So she goes off to the dance. Mom is sitting at home, knitting and sipping tea, doing whatever moms do, watching The View. And so 3, 4, 5 hours come back, and the girl comes back from the dance. And mom and the girl's like, "Hey, mama." And the mom's like, "What's that I smell? I smell sex. Did you shame our family, girl?" And she's like, "Well, mama, 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 let me tell you what happened. You were absolutely right. It was so nice at the dance. He danced with me and he rubbed my wrist and it felt so good, mama. And then he took me to the creek and we had some champagne and it tasted so good, mama. And then he started rubbing my back and then I hopped on top of him and I shamed his family."
Well, that's been another episode of Highway Diary. Thanks to my guest Sunshine for this fascinating discussion. We talked about the spirit world, how you can put crystals on yourself and go to alternate dimensions with enough fasting and marijuana. We talked about inequality and gender, being polyamorous. I mean, the cabal of bankers. We really covered a lot of topics. So, hope you enjoyed yourself. Click through the Amazon link on the Highway Diary RSS feed. Buy some shit on the Amazon. I gotta be honest, most of it goes to a cabal of banksters. But a couple of pennies off that purchase get shot over to this fucking podcast and keeps it on the air and shit. Also, every Tuesday, you can see me host the open mic at Cajuns at 6 p.m. Next semester, that might be different because I have a class at that time. But for the short time period, I'm doing that. Anything you want to... You have a Tumblr.
I do have a Tumblr. If you want to come and check out my Tumblr, it is SpiritMonkey14. That is SpiritMonkey, one word, 14.tumblr.com.
Beautiful.
It's a fashion blog, so you better love fashion.
That's another episode of the Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. Later.